Today's sermon text comes from John 15, verses 9 through 17. And there's a bit of a change today. I've been mulling this over for weeks and months. It's not going to be up here on the screen. Kind of having a change of heart about that. Not that I don't want you to see it and I want you to hear my wonderful voice, because you know what I think about that. I'd rather have James Earl Jones' voice. I've mentioned that enough. But it's so that we can have the skill, or reclaim the skill perhaps, of finding it in our own books. Maybe it's too easy to rely on the screen all the time. We do that a lot for our singing and for other readings and things. That's fine. But for this, just kind of where I am right now, if you want to follow along in your own Bible, you're going to have to do it yourself. And that's okay. That's a good thing. In any case, sermon text for today. John 15, starting in verse 9 through 17. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this word, which you spoke so long ago, which is so true for us today. Help us, Lord, to meditate well on it together, that we might be transformed by your love and sent on mission by your love. Be with us now in these moments, we pray. Amen. You may have noticed, if you were aware of anything in the world, that this past Thursday was a different kind of a day. You may have noticed that this past Thursday was a sort of socially important day, especially if you were married or in another kind of relationship. Gentlemen, you probably noticed that more intentionally on your part, perhaps, than on maybe on the ladies' parts. It was Valentine's Day. You may have been aware of that for one reason or another. One thing that I'm just astounded by is how our culture has taken this over and made it such a public display. Not so much in our stores. I mean, that's obvious. You can't, for the month of January and the first half of February, you can't see anything but pink in stores. That's just the way it is. It doesn't matter what store it is. But not just in stores, but on the computer. If you were anywhere near the internet in the past week or so, you must have seen something about Valentine's Day. I keep tabs on people through Facebook. A lot of people do this. And it was astounding to me how many professions of undying love and affection were being poured out on the computer on Thursday. And Tara and I sort of have a truce about that kind of a thing. We don't do that. We do other ways of expressing our affection to each other that isn't necessarily always public, but we won't go there. We don't do that kind of Facebook kind of stuff. I like to make her uncomfortable every once in a while. It's fun. It's good. (Laughs) My favorite time related to Valentine's Day is this time when all the chocolate is half price or better. That's my favorite time. Can I recover it? This is better now. Okay, good. My favorite part of this season is when the holiday is past and then you can buy all the goodies for much less, more reasonably what they should cost as opposed to what they did beforehand. It's a season that affects us all in one way or another, whether you are married or divorced or widowed or not ever been married or too young to have been married or anywhere in there. Valentine's Day is something that evokes some kind of emotional reaction in you, one way or another. It's a season that affects us as a culture. I bring this up not because it embarrasses my wife, but because it's important for us to think about seasons that evoke something emotionally in us. We're in a different sort of season in the church now. This season that we are in now actually began a day before Valentine's Day. It began on what we call Ash Wednesday. A few of us gathered here this past Wednesday evening and had a service of worship in which these ashes were produced. This is a little tin. I won't show you because it'll probably spill, and Stacy wouldn't like that. It would be hard to clean up. But there's a good pile of ash in here that we experienced the creation of. You know how you create ash? It's by burning things. And this was a symbol, a representation of our sinfulness before God and our need for His redemption, a need for His salvation. These ashes will stay here on our communion table until Easter Sunday as a reminder of our need for God's salvation and our need for His redemption. This season of Lent is one in which we focus, we Christians generally, broadly, across the spectrum of Christianity, focus in on our need for this redemption and our thankfulness for Christ and for the cross and all. It's a very heavy kind of a season. It's a very kind of somber sort of a season. In the Church of God, as we prepare for this, for the celebration of Easter, as we engage in this season collectively together in the Church of God movement, we're focusing our thoughts on a theme, a collective theme called Extreme Love. That is the title of this devotional booklet. Here's the plug again if you want to have one of these. There are a couple more in the office. Remember to talk to me after the service or Tara. One or the other of us can take care of it for you. Or the red covered devotional booklet. Those are free. Those are out there as well. These are resources that have been made available to us to help us in the Church of God think about this theme of God's extreme love for us. God's extreme love for us as revealed in Jesus Christ. And sort of the theme verses for this season of Lent, which we in the Church of God, for reasons that remain mysterious to me, call Focus 40 instead of Lent. And we started a week later. I don't know. The theme verses for this season are found in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Now, if I were to say those words to Dylan, or to Joe, or to Nathan, or to Tyler, who's not here today, or to Lewis Smith, who's been here on occasion, or his cousin TJ, if I were to say Matthew 22, 37 to 40, would that ring a bell for you guys? I'm hoping they say yes. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And Mark adds, "with all your strength," four of them. "This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." I point out these three young men and the other three who aren't here because of what you'll see next week. They've been in a Boy Scout class with me for a merit badge or a medal or something. I don't know what they're going to get, but it's called God and Church, and one of the memory verses that they had to memorize was that, the theme verses for this season of Focus 40. God's extreme love for us, revealed through Jesus Christ. And simply put, there are two commands for us, to love God with everything and to love each other as we love ourselves. More on that next week. But for this week, today's passage from John 15, Jesus boils all of this down even just to one command. Love each other as I have loved you. This is my commandment. He said it a few times. One single command. Love each other as I have loved you. You see, we like to be loved, don't we? That's what Valentine's Day is really about. It's about knowing that you are loved. That's why from an early age we teach our children to give Valentines to each other. All the girls who have cooties and all this other stuff. We don't know anything about love, but we know that it means something to receive a gift of love. It means something to be loved. And Jesus says we should love each other as we have been loved by Him. We love to be loved. And it's so crucial for us to know that we are loved by Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. But there's a challenge here for us, because it's so tempting for us, culturally speaking, to kind of soak in that love and have it be a receptive sort of a thing where we deserve to be loved by God, and it's really about us and how wonderful and how special we are because God has loved us so much. In this passage, Jesus starts at a different place. You have to understand the context of what Jesus is talking about here in John 15. This is just after He has given the illustration of the vine and the branches. You know what that's about? Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. We cannot live without being connected to the vine. A branch cannot live on its own without being nourished by the vine. But even the vine, see, Jesus says this too, even the vine has a gardener. My Father is the gardener, Jesus says. The vine cannot exist on its own without its relationship to the Father. As Jesus loves us, so has He been loved by the Father. That's how He began here in verse 9 of this chapter. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so have I loved you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. All week long I've been mulling about this. How does the Father love the Son? What does that look like? For the Father to love the Son. This is the Father who sent the Son on mission into this world to teach us about the kingdom of God, to bring forgiveness of sins, to bring redemption. This is the Father who sent His one and only Son to earth so that this Son might die on the cross for our sins. We say that, it rolls off the tongue so easily. Remember Abraham of old and his one and only son Isaac. He and his wife Sarah had been barren for how many years? And finally, Sarah has her child, Isaac. He laughs. That's what the name means. And Isaac grows up to be at least a reasonably strong young man so he can carry things. And Abraham says, come along with me, Isaac. God has called me to give a sacrifice to Him on the mountain. Carry the wood. I'll carry the fire. Where's the lamb? Isaac says. God will provide. And God calls Abraham to sacrifice His own son, His only son, as a way of giving thanks to God, as a way of expressing his devotion to God, as a way of committing everything over to God. And the altar is set up on the mountain, and Isaac lays the wood there, and everything is set up, and there's still no lamb. And Abraham says, well, I'm ad-libbing now because we don't have much of this conversation back in Genesis. Isaac, it's you. How could that conversation have gone? Let me tie you up and put you on the altar. And now I've got to pull out my knife. We got to this point in the story, in Genesis, and Abraham is about to slaughter his own son, to sacrifice his own son, his only son. And God says, stop right there. That's enough. Now I know that you love me more than anything. Now I know that you have set the wheels in motion so that this line will continue and it will culminate in me giving my own son and not stopping at the point of no return, not avoiding the sacrifice of the Son, but going all the way. How has the Father loved the Son? What profound love God the Father has for God the Son, that He would be able to do that. And Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus calls us to remain in His love, to abide in His love. That's another English translation way of putting it. To live in His love. In the same way that a branch lives, abides, remains in the vine, it can't exist outside of it. It can't have its identity outside of the relationship with the vine. So remain in my love. Identifying with this sacrificial love of Jesus is what makes us who we are. It defines us, and it is what transforms us. It's what we are called to imitate, to love each other sacrificially. It's what sends us on mission, just as Jesus was sent on mission. It's too easy for us in our present day culture to fall into sentimental expressions of love, Hallmark card expressions of love, Facebook posts expressions of love, Valentine's Day expressions of love. This love is much deeper. It is much more holy. It is much more divine. God's love for us changes us and sends us on mission. We are transformed by knowing what God's business is. Jesus calls us friends, not servants, because servants don't know what the master's business is. But see, now we've been let in on the secret. God's business specifically is to spread the gospel message, to see people experience salvation in Christ, and to live holy lives for His glory. I think God's love is much more like a game of kickball than it is about Valentine's Day cards. Do you remember kickball? I think just about everybody plays kickball at some point in their lives, yeah? When we're children, anyway. It's been a while since I've played it. It's recess time, right? Fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, whatever, when you have recess. You go outside to the playground and you play kickball. What do you need? Well, you need a ball, of course. Somebody has to secure that, great. And then you need teams. You have to divide up the crowd of kids into two teams. Anybody have nightmare stories about that? Being last chosen or first chosen or somewhere in there. Somebody has to do the picking. You have two captains, maybe the most popular kids or the best kickball players or whatever, whoever volunteers, and then they start picking people to be on their team. Chosen. People chosen to play a role on the team. There was one time when I was in elementary school, I was chosen to be on the team. Of course, everybody was, and it was my turn to come up and kick, so I came up to home plate. And here comes the pitch, whatever, the roll, the ball, and I kick it. I remember this, I can still visualize it because it affected me. Kick the ball out into left field, okay, to my left, and I have to run over here to first base, which is to my right. Kick the ball over there, and it kind of, you know, it's a nice, it's a clearly going to be a single. I'm going to get onto first base, no trouble at all. It goes over the infielders and lands before the outfielders. I think, yes, I got a single. And so I start sauntering my way down to first base. I wasn't, you know, bragging or doing anything outlandish. I was just taking my time getting down to first base because I thought, well, I made a single there. You know where this is going? Imagine my surprise when by the time I got to first base, the first baseman had the ball in his hands. I had taken so long in getting there that the person playing left field got the ball and threw me out at first.
In kickball?
In kickball. On the playground. I must have been going really, really slow, but I just have this impression, oh, I got thrown out at first. The only thing I was supposed to do was to get on base. and I got thrown out at first. I don't remember much about how my teammates reacted to that because I was feeling so bad about it myself. But I can imagine the people on my team, especially the one that had chosen me, might have said to themselves, why did we pick that guy? Why did he just do that? That was the silliest thing for him to do. Chosen to be on the team for a reason. Now, being chosen is great. Being chosen, being loved, being accepted, having a role on the team to play brings joy into our lives. Jesus says, I say all these things to you so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. Happy Valentine's Day. Great. But it's not complete until we run to first base. It's not complete until we fulfill the role that we have been called to fulfill. Jesus says, I have chosen you. You see, you have not chosen me. We think of that so often when it comes to faith in Jesus. We think, I have to choose to follow Jesus. Jesus says it the other way around. I've chosen you. And I've chosen you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. What kind of fruit is that? Even the first fruits, as we heard from Deuteronomy 25, 26, the best of the best of the produce that we could bring before the Lord, even that will spoil eventually. What kind of fruit will last? By loving each other self-sacrificially, we experience complete joy and we are called to be sent to bear lasting fruit. And I think from reading Jesus, my understanding of this is the fruit that will last are lives that are transformed. People who encounter Christ in a saving way and experience fullness of life in themselves. This is the fruit that is lasting. This is the fruit that will endure for all eternity. And then Jesus says a most mysterious thing. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Well, I'd love all those half-price chocolates from the store. I'd love safety, security. I'd love to be accepted. I'd love to be loved. I'd love all these things for myself. He just got done talking about fruit that will last. And then he says, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Friends, for whom are you asking God? For whom are you asking him? What fruit must be produced in our relationships? Who do you know that needs to be one of these fruits that are presented before the Lord as an offering that will last? He will give you whatever you ask in his name. I'm not talking about stuff or feelings. We're talking about people. We're talking about souls. Whom are you asking God to add to his kingdom? Is there anybody that you can identify? When Jesus chooses us, he chooses us to carry on his mission. His mission was to bring people into the kingdom. His mission was to bring wholeness and fulfillment and healing and a way of life that is not terrible but is prosperous. When he chooses us to carry that mission on. When Jesus loves us by sacrificing himself, he asks us to love each other by sacrificing ourselves as well. The only trouble is, he doesn't say here what that looks like. How do we love each other sacrificially? A little bit earlier, he had said something about washing each other's feet. Okay? Laying down one's life for one's friends. One thing is for sure. Extreme love is not about receiving gifts. It's not about feeling good in ourselves, although that's a side effect of it. Extreme love is about pouring out ourselves so that others might live. a few chapters earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus said something very profound about his own upcoming suffering, his own upcoming death. He said that unless a seed falls down into the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. For whom are we asking God to be added into the kingdom? And for whom are we giving of ourselves so that they might be added to the kingdom? When we were in Guatemala a couple of weeks ago, missionary friend David Beam told us a little saying that goes right along with this, and I've been thinking about that too this week. One of the tasty fruits down there, is it a fruit? It's an avocado. That's a fruit, isn't it? Because the seeds contained inside it. You know how many seeds there are in an avocado? Ooh, this is the one big glob of, it's the big pit right there. It might have many things inside it, but this is the one. And David Beam said this, anybody can count the seeds in an avocado. Only God can count the avocados in a seed. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it cannot bear any fruit. So, when we think about God's extreme love, the seed fell into the ground and died, and look what fruit it has produced. Extreme love for us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now go love each other. Unless the seed falls into the ground and dies, it won't bear any fruit. This is extreme love. This is what this season is about. So may it be that we love extremely, that we love self-sacrificially, and that we love in a way that honors the Lord in this season and beyond. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we come before you, humbled by your mercy, thankful for your grace. And we ask, Lord, that our expressions of love for you this season would be transformative, that we would come to know you more and more closely as our Lord, and that at the same time we would come before you ready to be transformed for your mission, which is to share your love with those around us. Help us, Lord, to pray daily for those who need to know you, to bring before you those who need to be converted to your truth, to be transformed by your grace, and use us as agents of change. Help us to run all the way to first base and not just stand at home plate admiring the love that you have given us by choosing us to be part of the team. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in this season, remembering that we are dust and to dust we will return. But in the meantime, we have much to do for your sake. Strengthen us for this task, we pray, and use us as you see fit. In Jesus' name we pray.